for the, we have a lot of new people on the call tonight. It's very exciting to have new people, new blood in the organization, and newbies don't know who Brian Carruthers is. So, Frank, we need to tell them a little bit about who Brian Carruthers is. And, Brian, when you start, I would love for you to tell a little bit of your background and story, because coming from your background, there's a lot of people that can relate to that and think similar.
We have so many new people on here tonight. I mean,
yes,
they're just getting into business.
Brian Carruthers has been with the business for, I guess, 15, 16 years, and he has earned over $1 million a year and better with the company. And
he doesn't even look 16 years old.
I think he loves you for that one.
He
looks
amazing.
Young. He's a Millionaire Club member many times over. He's from Maryland. He's the regional vice president in Maryland. He's on the executive advisory board. He is a very important component of what goes on at home office, because he's one of the people they always consult. And I'll tell you, when it comes to building a business, I do not know of anybody in the business, Frank, who has better business work ethic.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And I think his new book reflects that.
Yes.
You know, that's the reason that's the most complete book I've ever seen about, you know, our industry. And that's the reason I think it's going to become an icon.
I do too.
And we've known Mr. Carruthers, I mean, for about 17, 18 years, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Even before Legal Shield.
Yep.
And we have watched him grow, and he's a young man, and he is just dynamic. And he's got one of the largest teams in all of Legal Shield.
Yes, he does.
And if you don't think that's not an easy task. And then to take on the RVP ship, that's another massive task.
Yes.
And then to be part of the home office staff that helps everybody.
Yes.
And he's been on probably 5 or 6 calls just like this week alone.
Probably.
For teams outside of his team.
Yes.
And so that's what I was talking about, you know. He's got arms bigger than his own business. He's got arms bigger than his own problems. And when you do when you learn so much, you can answer those questions and you can help millions of people. And he has helped,
millions,
I would say, over
people.
A million people,
yeah,
you know,
in
this industry.
And on top of that, he's a single dad. I mean, Talon is a beautiful,
yeah, so all you single ladies, all you single women out there, this is the,
well, he may be taken. but he, you know, he's got a very handsome son. I know he has a lot of fun with Talon.
Yeah, Talon's going to be a big boy.
Yes, and for all of you to understand this as well, Mr. Carruthers is going to spend the next little bit of time with us tonight. He has no financial vested interest in being on this call tonight. We are not part of his team.
He does. I'm going to promote his book.
Okay, well.
He may make 20. He probably makes 20.
Yeah, I'm going to say
but
that.
I'm going to promote him. I mean, he deserves everything he can.
Yes. Well, it is our book of the month for February, and we're very excited about it. And you heard me talk about it earlier. So with no other ado.
No, that's good. Mr. Carruthers, we are so excited, honored, and
thank
pleased.
You.
And as you can tell, that we're just delighted to have you on the call tonight. So welcome aboard.
Yes. And after you begin a little bit, I do have a few things in your book I'd love to ask you to comment on once you get going there.
Sure. Well, I'm glad you said without any further ado, because that was a lot of ado. That's a lot of ado right there.
I carried away. I'm
blushing. I'm glad Melissa's not on here, because I do have a girlfriend. When you said handsome and you said Talon, well, I guess I thought you were going to talk about me. So it's been a mixed call so far. It's been fun. But I have nothing but love and respect for both you, Frank and Teresa, and obviously all the folks that are on your team on this conference call. I mean, if I feel like I'm on the Regis and Kathy Lee show, or I don't watch these shows, so I don't know if there's a newer one than that. But you guys are obviously great on calls together. I've heard your calls together for many times over the years, and sometimes when you're around brilliance so much that it might seem every day. And so I say that because you guys on this call that are part of the Acquaintance organization, I don't think you have any way to realize how lucky you are to have leaders that know so much and care so much and are willing to work so much to help you achieve your goals. And sometimes I need to remind, you know, a lot of people that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't have good mentors. And, you know, that's why I actually started a blog like a year and well over a year ago called Foster Mentor, because there's so many people, there's a lot of kids out there in the world that don't have parents, so they have to get a foster parent. And there's a lot of people out there in a network marketing business like this that don't have a good upline or a good sponsor, so they need a foster mentor. You guys don't need a foster mentor. You got great mentorship on this call. So whatever I can do tonight to add in all extra value, it's just going to be icing on the cake that you guys are already working on baking right now. So Teresa, have you got a couple of ideas that you want to, you want me to tackle? I'd certainly love to.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Please tell everybody about your background, your how it was in real estate compared to Legal Shield. Your 30-second testimony.
Yep, and that's what I want to do. I want to teach you all how to do an actual 30-second testimonial because testimonials I hear around the country are not really compelling. They're just, you know, they're kind of motivational talks or kind of, I don't know what they are. So here's just my 30-second pitch, you know, whether I'm when I'm meeting somebody or whether I'm at a briefing doing my testimonial. You know, my background was in real estate. I was working 6 and 7 days a week, 8 to 5. Literally 60 hours a week was a norm, and I was in my 20s. So, you know, all my friends weren't working that hard. I was, because I wanted to do well and be successful, make a lot of money, and I was making 6 figures in my mid-20s. But it also came with having no time freedom. So I had no time for family and friends and all that. Well, along comes another realtor, tells me about Legal Shield. I saw the value in the services, made sense, but I also saw how much he was going to keep getting paid every month for the rest of my life because he signed me up for the service one time. It was residual income. I had no residuals in real estate, therefore I had no time freedom in real estate. So I decided to get involved with Legal Shield part-time, and my first year, starting off part-time, then went full-time pretty soon, I made over $248,000 in income. Needless to say, goodbye real estate. I didn't need to continue education hours. I didn't have to drive people around in my car. I didn't have to go out there and be subject to market conditions. And now my income is insane. I'm a single stay-at-home dad with my 7-year-old son. I'm on all his field trips. We travel around the country. I've taken him out in other countries before. And my lifestyle is 1,000 times better thanks to Legal Shield. That's my pitch. Might have been 40 seconds. But, you know, that's it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, ins and outs that I could weave in. But quite frankly, I don't know that it's you know, I think everybody on the line here, obviously you saw the value of the services. You saw that there's money to be made. I think that one of the topics I will share as we get going here, maybe I'll just start with this one topic, and then Teresa, if you have a couple different chapters you want me to kind of focus on, then I'll certainly go there as well. But, you know, I just actually just jumped off of a call 5 minutes ago, right before I jumped on here, with Ken and Patty up in Western Canada. And, you know, the Smiths, you know, they asked me, you know, a couple of different, you know, questions, and one of which was one of the topics I covered on the ED call today. And that is, you know, not to drag your past forward. But also the other topic I want to share as well, I'm kind of jumping around in my head right now, is how to be a great, how does somebody become a great leader? How do you build a huge team? Why does one person that seems to be working you know, just as hard and seems to be going to all the same events and to listen to all the different, all the same conference calls. Why does one person make $1,000 a month? Why does the other person make $20,000 a month? Well, I think one of them is just a better visionary and vision painter than the other. See, when you're talking to your team, your brand new recruits, and even your existing associates, one of the things that we need to do is we need to learn how to plant a seed in their mind that's going to take root and it's going to take over. See, you don't want to be somebody that's bringing people in the front door and having them go out the revolving door out the back door. So, and it happens a lot. You have people coming, they're going, and you can't keep everybody, you can't keep them here. And the reason is that they don't have a reason to stay here. See, you know, there's three visions that you need to be able to paint for people in an effective, passionate way. Number one, you got to paint the vision of Harlan Stonecipher, his vision of equal justice under law, you know, giving everybody access to their rights, and this exclusive country club in America called the legal system that we've all been priced out of. We're going to open it up and give people access to it for the very first time. We're going to empower people. We're going to give them peace of mind. We're going to let them live a much better life. That's a great vision. That's number one. We got to be good at that. Number two, we got to get good at telling people our vision, what we're going to accomplish. You might say, well, why people don't need to know what my goals are? Yeah, they do. People don't want to follow a dud. They don't want to follow somebody that's not even going somewhere, you know, in a good direction themselves. So when I got started, I was telling everybody, and not in a selfish way, but I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and get 500,000 customers on the books with Legal Shield. I'm going to protect 500,000 families. I'm not going to do it all by myself. I'm going to build a team of people to go do that. And that team that's going to go out and accomplish that, we're going to have hundreds of people making 6-figure annual incomes in this business. I'm going to give a lot of kids their parents back. Get them retiring from their jobs, not just bring home one home, bring one spouse home. We're going to bring both mommy and daddy back home. Okay, we're going to change life. We're going to be walking the beaches of the world. So that right there is my vision. That's the second vision. And the third vision is painting the vision for that associate, that recruit.
you know, get them thinking into a different headspace. And so how would that look like? Well, I'll talk to the person, and I'll find out a little bit about them. You know, they're going to tell you what their hot buttons in life are, hot meaning good and bad. So I'll say, hey, you know, what's your life like right now? What do you like about your job? What do you like about your situation? Well, I like my job because, I like the people I work with. I like working with people. I like working with the customers. Okay, well, great. Well, what else? What do you dislike about your job or your situation? Well, the hours, you know, long hours. You know, I don't see my kids that much. The traffic every day is enough to give me road rage. My income is not where I need it to be, so I'm not really saving for retirement, or we can't really afford to take really great vacations. All right, well, I see your situation. So I let them tell me where they're at. I don't try to put somebody in a position where I'm judging them or making them feel bad. I just want them to picture where they are, and then I'm going to take them where they can go. And I want to get them to go there in their mind. I said, look, in the next 36 months, with this Legal Shield being your vehicle, we're going to drive you there. Here's where you're going to be going. You're going to be in a place where you're going to be working with people and having fun working with people because that's what you like. But you're going to be doing it within the realm of your own business. So you're not going to do it because your boss wants you to do it. You're not going to do it when somebody wants to do it. You're going to be working around your own schedule. At 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, like I was today, you're going to be getting your shower for the first time because you've been in your sweatpants at home, chilling out, working around your house for the day. You're going to get your shower. You're going to get out the door at 2:45 to pick up your kids at 3. You're going to pick up your own kids at 3 and not have some babysitter do it. And you're going to be able to bring them home. And you're going to be able to actually sit down and do some homework with them if you want. Matter of fact, you're going to actually have a family dinner with them. And so you're going to be spending time with your kids. You're going to get to know your kids. You're not going to have a college-age kid. They don't know you. You don't know them. You're going to actually have a family that you always wanted, right? You're going to be actually traveling. You're going to be going to Disney World if you want to that particular year. You're going to be traveling. You're going to look at your bank account. Your retirement's going to be taken care of. You're going to be giving more to your church than you ever made in a year. That's what your life is going to be like in 3 years because you've got the right vehicle now. So I painted the Legal Shield vision. I painted my vision as the leader that they're going to be working with and following, and I painted their vision. So if you learn how to become a Picasso and you actually can paint that vision and put that on the wall inside of their head, and what you also need to do is remember, there's a lot of dream stealers that want to get in their head. They want that Picasso. It's worth millions. So you got to be aware that you need to have security guards. What are the security guards? They're going to keep the robbers from coming in stealing that Picasso you just painted. Well, here's the thing. You've got to distract people from the distractions in their life. So you're going to have – life is going to try to get in their head and grab a hold of it. They got the negative family. They got the negative friends. They got, you know, the media. They got all kinds of stuff that's going to be, you know, pulling at them. They got sickness in their family. They got to take time to go, you know, deal with, you know, something out of town. They got church. They got to go to the gym. They got their fitness. All these things are pulling at them. So we got to distract them from distractions. But we also need to remember that if they don't stay close to the bonfire, if we don't keep them plugged in, they're going to grow cold and die. You know, their dream is going to get taken. You know what I mean by that is the door of their mind will be open for anybody to come in and grab the Picasso off the wall where you stuck it, unless you get them to get out to the weekly meeting, get them to their Super Saturday each month. Get them on these conference calls. You got to plug them in. Keep that security tight. Very, very important. And the last thing I want to share, and then Teresa, I'll get to whatever topics you want, is, you know, the idea, I shared this on the Monday call a little bit. I want to say it again because some people are missing the Monday calls. And I want to say the Monday leadership show on Monday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern on the company website, don't miss those. Go check out the archives from each one we did this month. And every month now, we have network marketing content from the top platinums in the company. I have never been a promoter of our Monday company shows because they were always across the board about a lot of topics. They were a little bit confusing. I'm a network marketer. I want to be in a recruiting mindset. Nothing wrong with anybody on my team doing group or selling a small business. Great. I like everybody getting into whatever niche they want. But we needed to have a place that will teach the stuff that helped me make over $15 million in this business. And that stuff is on the show now. But one topic I do want to hit real fast is that whole idea of don't allow yourself to drag your past forward. And this is, again, these are both things I'm taking right out of my book. As a matter of fact, I started talking about this over the last couple of days because I was rereading my own daggone book to refresh myself on a lot of stuff. That book was a year and a half in the making. I'm still going back to my own resource. And that book was made because I never had a network marketing book. that I could pull off my bookshelf. That was a one-stop resource for everything I needed to learn. Matter of fact, I've asked network marketers from a bunch of other companies out there in the last year, what is the number one book you've ever used to actually get you where you got to? And nobody ever, you know, I say, you know, in the business or personal development realm, hey, what's the number one most impactful book you've ever read? But they'll say Think and Grow Rich. Usually, you know, that's like 50% of the time it comes out of people's mouth. I've never had one book come out of somebody's mouth more than like 3% of the time. It's like everybody's got like a book that they've read that they're like, oh, that was a good one, but there's never been one thing. So anyway, sorry about tangent. So let me share this. Don't drag your past forward means, I'll give you an example. If you had a bad relationship or bad relationships when you were dating or whatever, or even if you're married, and those relationships ended in a bad way because maybe you got disappointed because you fell out of love and you're love struck, and all of a sudden you're disappointed. You're deflated. You know, you thought that was the person that you were going to be with the rest of your life. Or maybe the person, you know, fell out of love with you. Or maybe they changed. Or maybe they cheated on you and you were betrayed. And so you come from that place, and now you're going out to find your next relationship. And the next person that you find, you're trying to have a healthy relationship with that person, but the challenge is you're dragging your past forward. So you're bringing the lack of trust that you had behind you into your future relationship, and now you don't trust that person the right way, and they can feel it, and the relationship just can't work because you can't let yourself cut the past and leave it behind. If you're holding on something behind you, you can't move forward. You got to let your hand open up, let it go, cut that stuff out of your past, don't drag it forward, and then you can have a healthy relationship. Same thing in this business, you guys. So give you an example in the business. If you have the last 10 people you brought aboard, the last 10 recruits, let's say they've disappointed you. None of those last 10 are doing anything anymore. Some of them didn't even pass or qualify. Some of them didn't do anything. Some of them quit as soon as they started. You couldn't even call them the next day. You couldn't even reach them. So the last 10 people disappointed you. Let's say that you're still so motivated and focused that you're still willing to stick with it. And you go out and you find your 11th recruit, and let's say his name is John. So you bring John on board. Now, poor John, he's subject to your past because you can't let go of it. See, if those 10 people that you brought aboard, they were all succeeding. They're all rocking and rolling. They faster qualified. They're making up. They're making money. They're building their teams. If that was the case and you brought John on board, you could say, John, welcome aboard. You came aboard the best business in the world. This is such an easy thing. All we got to do is have a PBR, invite everybody over. I'll be over there tomorrow night. We're going to sign them all up. We're going to get you faster qualified. 12 months from now, you're going to be dropping a BMW. We're going to get you to ED, and you're going to be on Easy Street. Man, you're going to have a blast. John's going to be like, okay. He's going to do his PBR. He's going to pass or qualify. Why? Because that's what happens here, right? That's what you say happens. So is this going to happen? Because that's what you expect. What you expect happens. If you're taking notes, write that down. What you expect happens. So, but the problem is that those last 10 weren't all successful. Matter of fact, it was the opposite. They were all failures. By the way, a failure is only a failure if you don't learn from what happened. So anyway, so those 10 people over here didn't do well, and you're like really disappointed in it. It's messing with your head. So you drag unconsciously. You're going to do this. People do this every day. You drag those 10 failures forward. You project it on your new recruit, John. John doesn't have a fighting chance of like a snowball in hell of succeeding here, because now you're going to say to John, so, John, here's what the game plan is, all right? So now that you're on board, okay, what we need to do, we need to see what we can do to try to help you get faster qualified in the first 30 days, okay? And we don't want to wait till the 29th day, because a lot of people do that, and then they get all stressed out, and they're like begging their family and friends because they left it to the last second, they're trying to get qualified, so we want to do it right away. And so one of the things that some people won't do this, but you really got to just let me convince you, you got to do a PBR, and here's why you got to do one. You know, some people don't want to do it because their house is messy, or maybe they just don't know if they can invite people over, or, you know. Look, if you're already taking all the stuff that you heard and witnessed from the last 10, projecting it on John, and now he's said, yeah, you're right, I don't know if I want to clean my house, yeah, oh my gosh, wait, so people actually do wait till the 29th day and they get stressed out, it's a stressful business, you just killed them because you're dragging your past forward. If you've got failures, cut them loose. If you've got successes, bring that forward. Focus on the positive, bring that forward, and the negative, learn from it, get better from it, and let it go. So All that said, you could have read it all in the book anyway, but Teresa, what you got?
Oh, my goodness. That was so good. Taking notes here. We could stay on the phone for like 6 hours doing this.
I
love your segment on recruit to invite versus invite to recruit.
Okay, cool. So here's the thing. Let's say you guys have a big briefing next Tuesday. All right,
okay.
So you got a big briefing next Tuesday, and you're talking to your team, like, hey, let's invite a bunch of people out to it. I mean, it might make it easier, because it's easier to just talk in like a week. So let's say you got a big event on Saturday, a big Super Saturday. So everybody's talking about, hey, we got to promote for Saturday, which is great. You do need to promote for Saturday. But at that Saturday morning briefing, if you invite a guest, you invite Cindy, to Saturday's briefing, what's the best result you can hope for? One, recruit Cindy. What I would prefer, instead of inviting her to recruit her that day, is I would recruit her now so that she can invite her contacts to Saturday. So inviting to recruit means you invite the prospect in order to recruit them. I would rather recruit them now so they can invite their prospects. So again, here's a scenario. So it's Wednesday night right now, okay? So, you know, instead of me talking to Cindy tonight, say, hey, Cindy, what are you doing Saturday? I'm saying, hey, can I meet you for coffee tomorrow? Hey, or, hey, I'm doing a webinar tomorrow night. So I'm gonna recruit her on Thursday, and she's going to be fired up. I'm going to get her a game plan interview going on. I'm going to help her make the list right away, and we're going to take that list. We're going to attack that list. We're going to find the ones that are closest within a 30-mile radius, the ones that are the closest. And then we're going to find out which are the ones that we want to contact the first. You know, if we only have a limited amount of time, we will narrow it down and try to be selective a little bit. But we're going to contact as many people as we can and invite them. Come as soon as I'm done recruiting her on Thursday, we're going to invite them on Saturday. So let's say from her list we get 15 people invited, but 7 of them show up. What's the best that we can hope for as a result on Saturday? 8 people. We got Cindy, we got her early, but we got her, and 7 more recruits. We have a potential of 8 recruits because we recruited in order to invite versus inviting her only to try to recruit her on Saturday. So you got a result of a possibility of 1 or a possibility of 8. You choose. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer.
I like that, you know, because so often we get hung up on the idea of just focusing on that business briefing, but it's really the activity in between the business briefings that makes everything create momentum. So thank you for that. I love that chapter.
And, you know, it all comes down to, you know, tools and events. So like you said, all the filler in between, all the activity is what's going to funnel people in to that Super Bowl, if you will, on Saturday. So, you know, the daily disciplines, you know, getting out the tools, following up on those tools, inviting people to lunch, inviting people to a briefing, inviting people to a conference call, getting somebody on a PCC, getting somebody on a 3-way call. I mean, we either bring somebody to a presentation or we take the presentation to them. Regardless, they're going to see a presentation. And we have people that we call them doing drive-bys. I'm not talking about, like, you know, South Central LA drive-bys where somebody's dying. I'm talking about, like, you drive by their house, you knock on the door, hey, I'm here. Where's your couch? Where's your DVD player? Let's go. Sit them on the couch and throw in the DVD. I mean, I had a guy a couple years ago, he went ED because he did 38 drive-bys personally that month, signed up 28 people personally that month because he was just going to their house and not trying to expect them to drop things and come to a presentation. He took it to them.
Wow.
That's a great story.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, how about the...
We need to add that to the thing, drive-by.
Drive-by.
Yeah, drive-by. That's good.
I like it. Yeah, I don't know what... is that in the book, drive-by?
Everything's in there.
Okay, awesome. I love the congruence topic because everybody feels stuck at times. And I just think one of the reasons that you've done as well as you have done in my viewpoint is that you have been consistent and congruent, and where a lot of us, you know, we're not. We let things stop us. So please attack that.
All right. So here's I actually got a chance to learn from a guy named Brendan Burchard, who was he's got a great book called The Charge out there, and it actually talks about the law of congruence. It's a really great chapter I learned a lot from, which is where it really came into my mind in the last year and a half, where that's why I wrote a chapter about it. You know, because I never really consciously thought about how to frame that and how to explain that to the team. Now I know how to do it. So here's the thing. People are different, okay? So I'm really hard on myself. And so when I train on stage or I get on a conference call, you know, I'm known as the guy who pulls no punches. I'm like one of those real tough guy, you know, coaches that doesn't sugarcoat stuff. Because that's how I think internally. I do that to myself all day long. So I feel like if I get 40 minutes on stage with some people, they can handle it for 40 minutes. I do it 24 hours, right? I think I'll beat myself up in my sleep because for me, I'm a productive person. I don't like myself when I'm not productive. I just be honest with you. Unless it's planned non-productivity. It's like if I'm going to go out to a bar with some friends and catch up with my high school buddies and have some beers, okay, I'm going to plan that non-productive time. Okay, if I'm surfing, if I'm at the beach, if I'm collecting shells and Turks and Caicos, that's planned, okay? But if I'm actually in a work day where I'm supposed to get some stuff done, if I'm not getting stuff done, I don't like myself. I really don't. I'm just being honest. So, and it's because I'm not being congruent. Because if I say, in one hand, I've got these goals, these dreams, these aspirations of doing great things. In the other hand, are the activities that I'm doing or not doing. Then when they're not in alignment, then you can't feel good about yourself. Because you say, this is what you're about. This is how you're defining yourself with these goals and dreams. But then the activity that you need to do to get those, you're not doing. You feel a little sense of guilt, and you're in this natural. You kind of should, right? So if you're feeling a little bit guilty because today you didn't make enough phone calls, or maybe you didn't make any phone calls, you didn't talk to a single prospect today, you didn't do your two exposures today, you're going to feel a little twinge, like a little twinge of guilt. Tomorrow, you don't do your two exposures again. You let another day go by, and you didn't do your income-producing activity. The challenge is that little twinge, you feel it again. Ooh, it hurt a little bit more because I did it 2 days in a row. I'm not doing what I need to do to get any more successful. And then the next day, you don't do it again. All of a sudden, it's like, that's like a jab to the rib. Like, well, that's not a twinge. I'm feeling this in my gut. Like, I'm not feeling good about myself right now. You know, some people feel this about, you know, maybe you're eating wrong. Or maybe you join the gym, but you're not even going to the gym. You're paying for it, but you're not even going to the gym. You look in the mirror, you're like, you know what? I'm not congruent because, you know, my body ain't looking congruent. Whatever, right? So that's the way it is in your business. So you got these dreams and goals, but you're not doing what you know you should do. You know how to do what you got to do, but you're just not doing it. And you start feeling that incongruence. And what happens is it turns into guilt. That guilt turns into depression. And there's a lot of people out there inside of Legal Shield and all over in all kinds of careers, but people right here that are in a funk and in a little mild depression because they know they're not doing the deal. The great thing about the zone diet is that if you're eating the right food that's required in a diet, then you're in the zone. If you ever stop eating the right food and you start messing up, then you're out of the zone. But you can snap your fingers, boom, you're back in the zone if you start eating the food again. You eat the right food, you're back in the zone. See, you can snap your fingers right now tonight and start doing the activity now. And you're back in the zone in your Legal Shield business. You're back to being congruent, and you'll wake up tomorrow feeling a lot better. And the other chapter that will help you with that is, let me see what it's called. I'm working myself up into a tizzy here. It's, here it is. That's not it. Anyway, there's a chapter, I forget what it's called, but it's the whole book is new to me too. I wrote a whole chapter on designing the ultimate day. I think it's called The Ultimate Day. So I don't, there's 104 chapters in here, but The Ultimate Day is me explaining what my day looks like and what it's looked like for years. When I get up, what I do when I get up. You know, when do I read my personal development? When do I attack my emails? When do I check my voicemails? When do I start attacking my first prospecting calls? When do I do my follow-ups? When do I do my PBRs? I lay out the day. I've had that question asked to me so many times over the last 15 years. You know, what does your day look like? I want to model it. Well, now it's on black and white on paper, so people know what I did. It's not going to be the best. It's not going to be perfect for everybody. Everybody's got different styles, everybody's got different, you know, responsibilities or calendars or whatever. But at least everybody can say, okay, well, I can probably do a little bit of what he's doing here, or I can do exactly what he did. But one of the things that ties into a different chapter is overcoming call reluctance. you know, have you ever felt like, you know, you just don't feel like calling another stranger and getting another no, so you don't do it. That's what causes the incongruence. You don't do the activity because you don't want to get another no, and it doesn't feel good. It doesn't. Who enjoy? By the way, I've probably prospected more people than anybody in this company, and because I've recruited more. I've personally brought 1,400 plus people in. So obviously, I've talked to a heck of a lot of thousands of people. Do you think I like recruiting people? No, I don't. I don't enjoy calling a stranger. Or following up on somebody who's already told me no five times and trying to get my sixth no so I can finally get to the ninth one that will be a yes. I don't enjoy it, but I enjoy the results that I get from sticking to it. I don't enjoy the act of reading. I don't even enjoy even reading my own daggone book. I had somebody else edit it and proofread it because I didn't even want to read it again. Okay, but I enjoy the act of I don't enjoy the act of reading, but I enjoy the results I get from reading. So from that standpoint, you know, what I'm getting back to is getting over that call reluctance. You know, I tell you, you wake up in the morning and you break the ice early. Because if you get to 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you haven't broken the ice and you haven't made your calls yet, that day is gone. You're not going to ever get to it. But you get your first calls done at 9:05, 9:10 in the morning. You know, you read 10, 20 pages of a good book in the morning while you're eating your breakfast, and then you attack that phone at 9 o'clock when it's legal to start making calls. You get 2 or 3 or 4 phone calls made. I don't care if they're yeses or noes. It doesn't matter. You've broken the ice. You're on fire. You're going to make 20, 30, 40 calls that day. Why? Because you broke the ice and you got your mojo going.
Brian, that is powerful.
Yeah.
That really is. And I know we've taken a lot of your time, but we definitely want you to wrap up the call talking about the importance. You talked about plugging in. And the most important thing in our career that we can plug into in Legal Shield is that big international convention coming up. So if you don't mind addressing that for just a little bit, and then we'll wrap it up.
I just cut out for saying, you talk about Las Vegas?
Yes, Las Vegas, uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things that a mentor of mine years ago said to me that, you know, the name of the game is having an end game in mind. So I said, well, give me, what am I shooting for? He said, if you have 100 people at a national convention spread out on multiple legs, you're set for life. I said, I get 100 people to a convention, I'm set for life, really. He goes, yeah, because you'll have that many people that will have the strongest kind of seed planted in their head with the, you know, what we're talking about, they'll have the best vision, they'll have the best training, they'll have the most energy. He said, you get 100 people there, you're set for life. So I went, that was my mission. I'm going to get 100 people there. And so what I would encourage everybody to do is it's almost like I described it today on one of the calls. I've done several calls today. It's almost like you're going to be developing people as you go. And some of them are going to be in your hometown. Some are going to be people you've recruited or landed on your team in other states or provinces around the U.S. and Canada. You're going to have all these people that you're working with, and they're on the conference calls, and you're talking by phone and so forth, and you're meeting them out in your local marketplace as well. You have all these people. But what's going to happen is as you're working with all these people, and they're understanding that, yes, they also need to show up to the Super Bowl, to the end zone, which is basically Las Vegas in April, our once-a-year convention. It's going to be like, I don't know if you've ever seen a flash mob on TV, or like in the movies, they show flash mobs, where all of a sudden you're at a train station,
sure.
And suddenly all of a sudden everybody breaks out and dance. That's what
yeah.
the convention is like in your business. It's like all of a sudden you show up to this place, and simultaneously, all these people on your team, your empire, you're building all shoulder bolt at once. And the music's going, and the vibe's in the air, and everybody's on their path to success, and everybody's learning, everybody's growing, everybody's getting recognized, and all of a sudden, it's a flash mob. I don't know, I've never thought about this before until today. Just this flash mob thing popped into my head. I didn't even see one in a movie recently, but that's the way I feel about it. You got to be in Las Vegas, and if you don't like dancing, it's nothing to do with dancing. You're missing the point. But I tell you, if I did not go to my national convention the first year I came on board, 1999, I was in Dallas, Texas, and that it planted the seed in me that this is my vehicle. I said, I'm going to make my work my ministry, like Paul T. Meyer taught us, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to change my life by changing a lot of other people's lives. My life will be changed. And if I didn't go to the convention, I would never have thought the way I thought. I would not have believed who I believed. Therefore, I would not have acted the way I've acted, and I would not be cashing a check by cash. And I would not be the dad I am for Talon. And so it's not just the money, you guys. You know, we talk about money because we're in a business, and that's what we as a lot of people are here for. Let me tell you something. it breaks my heart when I see somebody quit this business, because they didn't just quit a business. They didn't just quit on themselves. They quit for the sake of their own family, and they have kids, or if they have grandkids, or if they have spouses, or if they have friends or people that they care about. They just set a horrible example of yet another time they started something they didn't finish. People ask me, Brian, all the time, well, Brian, look, you're making $1 million a year, and you say it's residual. You say you can walk away, they'll keep on following you. Then why are you still working? Two reasons. Number one, I haven't even scratched the surface of what I'm going to do in this company yet. But secondly, what would it be like if I actually retired right now and I was sitting around the house doing nothing and being an example like that for my 7-year-old? I'm successful, I believe, because my father, my parents, modeled great work ethic for me. Therefore, I'm living up to that. But if I was just going to go out there and retire and kick back, I would hurt my son, not help him. It's not about what I can buy him. It's about what kind of example I can be for him. Totally off the topic of Vegas, but kind of tied in. It's because of Vegas that I'm actually becoming who I want to become in this company. And I'm just going to tell you guys, you're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to make a lot more money because you went. And if you're not already registered for Las Vegas, get registered for Las Vegas. You will not be sorry.
Awesome. And you know what? I understand there's only 6,000 seats, and they'll blow past that. They'll fill those up as soon as they start promoting it in February, is my belief.
Yeah,
so.
Everybody needs to get their tickets now.
Yeah.
Yep, well, Mr. Krivlin, you just blew it out of the water. You talked about everybody getting the vision of what the company wants. You know, you're talking about your vision and going over their vision. You talk about being a master of distraction. They're going to be distracted by something, so you might as well distract them instead of letting the world distract them. And then I just to let the team know and let you know how much I appreciate this, people like Mr. Carruthers who change the world don't let the world change them. And they don't let the world come in and steal their Picasso, the pictures they have of their future. So people who change the world never let the world change them. They finish the pictures they want, and they don't let people steal it. So, Carruthers, you did it one more time, buddy.
I
really appreciate
that. Thank you. I can't wait
for
to read this entire book.
And he's got another book out, too. It was called, How I Made My First Million.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's a very small book.
Yeah, that one, Frank, is a that one came out. I'll just tell you real quickly what that is, and you can wrap it. It's basically, in March of last year, I was talking to a prospect, and which I do every day. But this one really was one of those ones where it was like, are you really serious? I mean, so this guy, he was like 50 years old, had a couple kids, who he said he never saw. He's always working too much. His wife is all mad because they don't have any relationship anymore because they're always apart. He's broke. He didn't know how he's going to pay his mortgage. And after telling me this for 12, 15 minutes, he's like, I said, all right, well, let's get you going to the business. Let's change this situation. He goes, I'm going to pass. What? You're going to pass? Are you serious? So he basically hangs up. I have his email address. I'm like, I gotta help this guy. I mean, I usually just go on and move on to the next person, but this guy felt so bad for him. So I'm like, I'm typing him out an email to try to get into his heart and head a little bit to just convince him that he's got to do something different, not just for him, but for his family. So I'm typing out his email, and it went on and on and on and on and on, and it turned into basically the book. The book's called Making My First $10 Million. The email I wrote to him, I put a little bit more meat on the bones, and I actually turned it into this book. And I printed it out. I brought it to the Platinum trip out in London. On the flight home, I gave it to Darnell, who was sitting next to me. I said, I want you to read this. He read it. He goes, man, that is powerful, man. I mean, if prospects read that, they'd be all over this business. I said, exactly. I said, you know what? I'm going to make this into a book. And we're going to use it to go out and give it to the prospects. He goes, dude, seriously, that's awesome. So I got the plane in March. By April, it was already in the warehouse, printed and published and going. And it's they're a dollar. You know, basically, the price, it's a recruiting tool. Because what I found is that a lot of us, we're out there trying to recruit people that are not recruitable. We're trying to talk to them about an opportunity. They're not even interested in an opportunity. We're trying to go shove our legal shield opportunity through a closed locked door. We're trying to slide it like underneath or like through the crack. But what if you have a tool, a book about money that teaches them how they're repelling money instead of attracting money? It teaches them how they need to have leveraged income instead of being leveraged. It teaches them how, network marketing is actually the best form of capitalism that exists instead of a pyramid scheme that they might be thinking. And it completely demolishes the idea that is it a pyramid scheme. And in that one little 15-minute read, if you can get that book into their hands, it's not company propaganda, has no network marketing company name in it, that doesn't say anything about Legal Shield. So you give them the book, they read it, they're like, wow, I've been repelling money. I didn't know. I mean, I need some leveraged income. And at the back of the book, it says, get back to the person who gave you this book to find out about a business that could fit this mold for you. So now you got just made the book, you follow up the next day and say, hey, what'd you like about what you read? You're like, hey, man, this is a great book. Yeah, I know exactly how you feel. And, I need to show you the business that the author was talking about that he made that $10 million in while he was in his 30s. And now you walk in broad-shouldered into a swung-open door. The door receptivity is wide open for you. And I've got people on my team that are recruiting people every week, every month, just by using that as an opening door opener, and then they bring them to a meeting or they get them to watch a video or whatever the case is. That's where that book is, just in case people didn't understand why I have both these totally different books.
Well, I just wanted to bring that up because I know it costs like a buck or something. Isn't it a buck or $2 or something?
Yeah, $1.
Yeah,
buy a box of 100 for 100 bucks, yep.
Yeah, I think a whole team ought to order those. So
yeah, we'll be getting some more of those.
It's
really effective. We loved it when we first read it, Brian. And thank you
Let me give you one more piece of value on that because, you
okay.
know, whether you use that book or whether you – again, I'm not – I want to make sure everybody understands this also. I make $1 million a year, and that's just the beginning for me. I'm not trying to become an author because I need to make money. Okay, a lot of money I'm making from the books, the money that I do make from the books, I'm giving a lot of that away to Sunshine Kids Charity and stuff like that. So that's not relevant to me. But whether you use the NISMA First 10 million book or whether you give it a DVD out or whatever you're doing to recruit and prospect people, here's something, you know, and by the way, when you go to the website for that particular book, the makingmyfirst10million.com, I recorded a video on how to properly give the book out. So you know how to do that and what to put in the label on the back so that people know how to call you and you don't put Legal Shield in it because you don't want it to be a Legal Shield book because then they'll say, oh, this is just marketing material. You don't want it to look like that. But here's a tip I'm going to give you guys. I'm telling you, I shared it with I think it was Larry King's team or somebody else the other day. And they're like, oh, my gosh, say that again. So when you're giving somebody a tool, so you give somebody the book and you say, hey, look, you strike up a conversation. Hey, I've got this book about money. What do you like? Do you like money? I mean, do you want money? Yeah, of course. Well, this book about money is the best book I've ever read. And it's like 15, 20 minutes to read it. I've got an extra copy. I'll give it to you as long as you want to promise me two things, that you'll read it and we get a chance to talk about it afterward. And you'll pay it forward and bless somebody else's life by giving it to them when you're done reading it. You promise me you'll pay it forward and then promise we'll talk afterward? Awesome. Okay. See, when you do the whole pay it forward thing, now you're getting them to read it and then give your tool to somebody else. You keep it moving. $1 for one tool that can talk to 20 people for you. But here's the key. So let's say I'm talking to this lady, Adrienne, and I'm giving her the book. You know what I say to her? I guess two choices. I want to get her phone number. Here's what most people do. So, Adrienne, what's your number? I could call and follow up with you. They hate that. Prospects do not want you to be calling them and pitching them and selling them and twisting their arm about anything. So here's what I say. I say, hey, Adrienne, hey, look, here's the book. What number are you going to be calling me from? Because I don't take calls from people I don't know. I'm going to repeat that. What number are you going to call me from? Because I don't take calls from people I don't know. So instead of you actually coming from the posture of, hey, can I get your number so I can bother you? No, instead you're saying, hey, what number are you going to call me from? Because I don't want to be bothered by people that I don't know. And you got your phone out and you're ready to take her number when she says here's the number I'm going to be calling you from. So you're going to look out for it. You're going to get more phone numbers more easily, and your posture will be 100% better by doing that one little thing.
I love it.
Wow.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, listen, you realize we could keep you here all night, right?
I know. I told you we could do this for 6 hours, but I think we better get a little rest and let you go.
Yeah.
I know you have plenty of other calls to do. You're probably going on the West Coast on you.
It's good hanging out with you guys for sure. I'll see all you guys in Las Vegas, and if I can ever be of assistance to you guys, we can always do another one. So I appreciate
you changed
so much
a lot of lives tonight, Brian. You did your job tonight, buddy.
Thank you from the whole team. We appreciate it.
Hey, you too. Have a good night.
Stay congruent, Brian. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right, team, we're almost a wrap here.
And for those of you who are on and staying on this late, I've got a little bonus for you, so get your pens out.
What's the bonus? You didn't tell me about a bonus.
Well, you do know about it. The bonus is that we did a progressive recruiting calls on Saturday, and yes, people signed up from it. Thank you for letting me know, and I got another note from Ron Crutcher. Because we actually gave him the recording for him to use with some of his team and kind of tested it, and it's already signing people up. So the little 15 to 20 minute call that we did record. So we're going to give it out to you, and you can use it as a PCC call, or you can, if you're putting together a private conference call for somebody, or if you want to just give it to somebody or three-way somebody into it.
Yeah, they can do that. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So here's the number, and it's a different number than we normally have, so write it down. The playback number is 712-432-1085. The PIN number is 982-499. That's 982-499. So have fun with it. Let me know your results. And if we keep getting good results from it, we'll make it a call that we leave up.
It's not down.
Correct. All right, y'all, this has been a fantastic call. I know it went long, but, boy, was it worth it. And I am so excited.
Yeah, let us know if you like it. Send us an email or something. Just let us know if you like the call tonight. Anyway, thank y'all. This is Frank Teresa and Sonny Charlton saying good night to everybody. Thanks for all you do. Good night now. Bye-bye.
Good night.